Kevin, and it's really, I'm so delighted to be here and talk about something that's I'm very passionate about, and it couldn't be a better situation than to have an introduction about a little bit of what's happening in the United States, and now talk with you a little bit about what's happening on the global perspective. So this is an update on the new Global Public Health Initiative to try to eliminate congenital syphilis as a public health problem. And I'd like to mention and acknowledge my co-authors. Natalie Proutet is the at the World Health Organization is in charge of this new global initiative. Jennifer Mark in the Division of STD, Ken Wind Anderson at WHO, and Dr. John Douglas, our esteemed division director here. So I'll be talking about what is our commitment as a world to congenital syphilis elimination, the global burden of disease, why is global initiative justified, and why now, and future directions and next steps. So how many of you here in the audience knew about the global initiative? This is great, wonderful. So in October 2007, WHO launched this new initiative. It was done at the Women Deliver Conference in London and had really widespread attention globally. The ministers of health of Nigeria and Mongolia presided at the launch, and there were several ministers of health present for the inauguration. And at the inauguration, 26 nations and even more international agencies signed a formal letter of commitment to the global initiative. And these included most nations that are highly affected with congenital syphilis problems. So the elimination program is based on four pillars. First, ensuring sustained political commitment and advocacy. Second, increased access to and quality of maternal and newborn health services. Screening, universal screening and treatment of all pregnant women. And finally, surveillance, monitoring, and evaluation systems, including lab quality assurance systems. And there are also four guiding principles to the program. The process should be country-driven. An integrated approach should be adopted. A rights-based approach should be applied. And partnership and collaboration is an important part of the initiative. And I want to talk about the integrated approach just a little bit because it was so well described in part by our last speaker. We're not talking here about another vertical elimination program. Congenital syphilis elimination is going to try to mount a health system's response and support antenatal care, not just congenital syphilis elimination, but early access into antenatal care and getting those important services that are needed for women. So why is such an initiative justified? And the DIS in the audience, public health advisors, will be familiar with this picture of a stillborn infant. And really, the reasons are because of the consequences of untreated maternal syphilis being so severe and some new information or kind of synthesis of information. So globally, each year, there are an estimated 750,000 to 1.5 million cases of congenital syphilis. It's a major cause of stillbirth globally, an important cause of preterm delivery, low birth weight, and neonatal death. Perinatal mortality is on par with that of HIV or malaria, and it's easily and cheaply preventable among the most cost-effective public health interventions there are. Those are strong statements. So what is the data supporting that? And in fact, many people that I talk to in public health will say, yeah, congenital syphilis is an important problem, but it's rare, you know, we've really taken care of it. So let's look at that a little bit more. So these are global estimates, preliminary global estimates of maternal syphilis prevalence that WHO has provided, and thanks to George Schmidt and Brad Stoner here in the audience who have come up with these estimates. And considering there are about 2 million, a little over 2 million women per year who give birth, and overall prevalence of syphilis estimated at 1.76%. Most of the burden, proportionate burden of syphilis is in a couple places in the world, Africa or the Afro region in WHO, and also in Latin America. But there are significant cases all over the world, and even here in North America, and Asia also, because of the high population and large number of people delivering each year, a large number of women delivering each year also provides big numbers. Now, this is, what about, I said that perinatal mortality and morbidity were very important. And this is a slide looking at studies among syphilis-infected pregnant women from 19, there are about five studies from 1917 to 2002, and have found pretty consistent data noting how important stillbirth is, perinatal death, infected infant, and preterm delivery. And if you look at that last line, any adverse outcome, you'll see that 49 to 80% of pregnancies among syphilis-infected women will end up with some adverse pregnancy outcome. And I said that the cost benefit, or this was one of the most cost-effective public health interventions that exist. And this is a summary of published studies that look at the cost-benefit of maternal syphilis screening in, we have here five countries around the world in the last 15 years. And you'll see that these, in the first column, the maternal syphilis prevalence is from moderate to high. The cost per woman screened is about $1 to $2, whether it's an RPR test or a rapid treponemal test. The cost per woman treated is fairly low. The cost per perinatal outcome averted is fairly low. And look at that last column of the DALY saved is really very low, $7 to $19. And World Bank looks at interventions and feels that a very cost-effective intervention might be defined as one where the intervention cost or the cost per DALY saved is less than the per capita income of the country. So when we're talking about seven to the annual per capita income, so $7 to $19 is a very cost-effective intervention on par with vaccine-preventable diseases. How does syphilis screening compare to other perinatal interventions? And just fortuitously, we had some studies done in three countries, Zambia, Kenya, and Tanzania, recently, looking at PMTCT using rapid HIV testing and counseling and testing and prophylaxis with single-dose nevirapine of positives. And I think most people would agree, and we're certainly promoting PMTCT around the world. This is, you know, one of the highly effective HIV prevention interventions. So looking at, in Africa, 13 to 18% is about moderate HIV prevalence. The cost per perinatal outcome averted in the thousands of dollars. And the per DALY saved $77 to $140 using World Bank standards, a very cost-effective intervention. At the same time, there were studies of maternal syphilis screening done in these three countries. And look at the cost per DALY saved for maternal syphilis screening. Really very, very cost-effective and relatively inexpensive intervention. Which is not to say we shouldn't be doing, you know, PMTCT. Of course we need to, but we need to think about, you know, good ways of getting syphilis screening on the table as well. So why CS elimination now? Well, many reasons, but there's a world focus on health for women and children that makes this us be able to mount a compelling case. The Millennium Development Goals, or MDGs, there are three specific goals looking at reduced child mortality, improved maternal health, and combating HIV, malaria, and other infectious diseases, including STDs. WHO has also mounted a Making Pregnancy Safer initiative, trying to boost the number of people that receive antenatal care and have safe pregnancy and delivery. There are better measures of infant mortality in most nations around the world, in part because of repeated demographic and health surveys, and increased recognition in countries. And in fact, almost all countries in the world now have a policy of universal maternal syphilis screening. There's the possibility of shared resources in antenatal health through other programmatic efforts, childhood immunization programs, malaria control, PMTCT and family planning and reproductive health services, and the idea of integrating. These are all possibilities of shared resources and possibilities. There's better data on cost benefits and maternal screening that I showed you, and cheaper, easier tests are available. And you know, finally, why not? It's the right thing to do. It fits within what we as a world ought to be doing with the Declaration of Human Rights. So let's look at that cheaper, easier tests available. So the WHO STI Diagnostics Initiative is something many of you may be familiar with. This is a special section of WHO whose mission is to promote the development, evaluation, and application of STI diagnostic tests appropriate for use in developing country settings. And our laboratory branch at CDC is a WHO collaborating center evaluating STI diagnostic tests. In the STI realm, an ideal test is considered one that's affordable, sensitive, specific, user-friendly, rapid, and equipment-free. And here are some examples of on-site testing and this idea of rapid tests, having tests on-site to diagnose and allow treatment at that same visit is very important. And this STI network has focused quite a bit on rapid syphilis tests. And here are some examples of places around the world where rapid syphilis tests have been evaluated, either in laboratory sites or in field sites. So the currently available rapid tests on the market are treponemal tests, and they look for any syphilis in lifetime, so the scar marker of syphilis. But there are some promising dual tests under development that would allow both treponemal and non-treponemal tests to be done at the same time, so active syphilis. The other interesting thing that's often misunderstood, I think, around the world is that syphilis, the rapid treponemal tests are really fairly inexpensive. And WHO's bulk procurement scheme allows low-income nations to purchase tests at very affordable prices, from 19 cents to $1 per test, so even cheaper than the tests that are available on the open market. And thank you, Ron Ballard, for some slides. But this is an example of one of those tests, the BioLine. What happens on site is the person has a finger stick. The whole blood is drawn and put on the little strip, buffers added, wait 5 minutes, and then you have either a positive or negative result. And this is what it looks like in the field. So very easy on the spot at on-site testing. So with this congenital syphilis elimination initiative, one of the important things in the program is to think about same visit testing and treatment, or STAT. So the idea here is women get testing results, and if positive, treatment at the same visit without a need to return. This is really important in remote settings around the world where people may only have one chance to see a woman during pregnancy. So, and maybe even here in the United States. So pilot studies in Haiti and Mozambique suggest that STAT, same-day testing and treatment, can increase screening and treatment to greater than 90%, which is a huge increase over where we are right now. The test could be an RPR in some settings. In many settings around the world, they are able to do an RPR test at the same visit, and that, of course, would be very inexpensive and would allow the treatment. But at some places, they really don't have the laboratory capacity or the health system resources, the human resources, to allow that. And then the rapid treponemal test would be very useful. If rapid tests, one of the concerns have been this over-treatment. Would be giving women penicillin that don't really need it? And the cost-effectiveness study suggests that over-treatment really adds almost nothing to the cost, because we're talking about penicillin, it's really only pennies. And over-treatment also has very low morbidity for women. Clinicians worry about this a lot, but it's a very rare occasion to have a penicillin allergic reaction. So moving forward for next steps, WHO's plans are with international partners to develop an integrated framework for surveillance and monitoring, build on existing evidence, and scale up successful interventions, establish recommendations on treatment and testing algorithms, support operations research to introduce rapid tests and other practical technologies, ensure congenital syphilis information is adequately addressed in clinical guidelines and tools and so forth, and identify resources. Specifically, come up with an investment case. And right now, there is an effort to document for donors the compelling reasons for investing in syphilis elimination right now. There are a group of participants, a consortium of nations and agencies that are supporting the initiative, that are working together to identify donor funding. And in December 2007, there was a meeting in Atlanta, co-hosted by WHO and CDC, that had USAID, several universities, University of Washington, University of California, and London School of Tropical Hygiene, international NGOs, and the CDC Foundation working to kind of think about next steps. At that meeting, we were able to identify some models and strategies and come up with some areas that needed additional funding in the short term. And the idea is to develop an investment case paper for dissemination with a major goal of, we've done the pilot studies, now we need the scale-up projects. Being able to scale up in a country, universal health, screening for all, and using this STAT approach. And what does it take to implement that in a nation? That's what we have to come up with for our investment case. So here are a couple documents that WHO has put out for the global initiative. And there's more information available on the website here. And just as an infomercial, I'd like to refer you to poster number 99, our National Policy Services and Indicators Ready for Global Initiative to Eliminate Congenital Syphilis as a Public Health Problem. And that's Jennifer Mark is the facilitator of that program. So thank you very much. And I hope I hope everyone here will join the charge and become messengers for this important new initiative. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary. I think you've stimulated and motivated us to go out and start doing some advocacy. So I have a question here.
Yeah, well, great question. At the moment, the treponemal test, there's none that give a titer. They just do that score. But with the new, perhaps in the future, with the new rapid test, the new dual antigen rapid test, there might be an opportunity for titer. Oh, Juan is saying no, no.
Not initially.
Not initially. So, yeah, so the titer would require some additional testing.
Mary, I just have to continue at the start. Approach. What do you do with male partners in that context when you're treating women in the clinic and you're sending them back out? Because if you're worried about women coming back to the clinic for diagnosis and treatment, surely you're going to be worried about their male partners as well. And how is WHO conceptualizing that?
Yeah, partner notification is an important part of the strategy. So, and in most countries around the world, there is a partner notification component, but it's really one of those parts that is not necessarily working well in most nations. So that's one of the areas where additional operational research is needed to come up with better mechanisms of partner notification to get partners treated and reduce reinfections. Yes. Yeah, so just a finger stick, whole blood, just like the HIV test, a little bit like the HIV test, yeah, using whole blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are many, many tests. I think they're the bi. Oh, good. Well, right behind you is Ron Ballard, and I'll refer that question to Ron, the chief of our laboratory branch.
Very, very
going to take the chair's prerogative and ask you one more question.
Okay, great.
You know, we often talk about leadership and advocacy in public health, especially with these large national programs. But how do we ensure that this is not just rhetoric and that we're holding leaders accountable to moving forward on this? Because we've really argued a very compelling case for global syphilis elimination, congenital syphilis elimination, yet we know that in many countries around the world, that leadership is perhaps really falling down. What are some concrete strategies that WHO is thinking about to both mobilize as well as hold leaders accountable?
Yeah, well, it's an excellent question. So one of the things that WHO is asking is that policies be consistent, so that countries have policies that call for universal screening. And they've been very effective in allowing this. And that the national guidelines are consistent, and the essential drug lists are consistent to allow the drugs to get effectively down to the lower levels. Another thing that WHO is calling for are some consistent monitoring and evaluation strategies. So at program level, that there are a few, but the critical important things that programs ought to be doing or measuring in order to see programmatically how effective they are, and that there be some national indicators and perhaps on a global level, global measures of impact. So the Pan American Health Association, PAHO, which is the regional WHO regional office that we all sit in here in the Western Hemisphere, has been one of the most progressive and proactive groups in developing. And so we here in PAHO actually have some regional goals that we're working toward. And in PAHO, it's to get congenital syphilis universal screening for all pregnant women. And that the congenital syphilis levels are less than 5 per 1,000 live births.
Thank you. Colleagues, this brings us to the end of the seminar. I'd like to, on your behalf, thank the presenters for today. I hope you enjoyed the seminar. It really took us through the sexual health of women who have sex with women and men. We looked at a variety of settings where we can implement testing, and we ended the symposium on syphilis. So a round of applause for our presenters.